from Lambeau Field, home of the 13-time NFL champs. It's the Mike McCarthy Show with Larry McCarron, Lance Allen, and the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy.
And welcome to the Mike McCarthy Show. He's Larry McCarron. I'm Lance Allen, and the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy. Mike, you hadn't dealt with a two-game losing streak since 2010. Now you've got a three-game losing streak. What's the pulse of the locker room, the feel around the team right now?
Well, the locker room is, you know, clearly in tune with where we are and the urgency that we need to, you know, we need to perform better. So it's like anything. You go back, everybody needs to take a hard look at themselves. This football team is very accountable. It's really a heck of a team to coach. And, you know, I mean that wholeheartedly. So we've already moved on to the Vikings. We started our preparation for the Vikings on Monday, which is earlier than you normally would. And, you know, we look to be ready to go Sunday and get this victory.
Mike, a lot of the folks watching this program are concerned the season is slipping away with three straight losses. And to that you say?
It's not slipping away. I mean, the reality is we have a division game, very important division game. And, you know, we're, you know, just getting in, you know, third quarter, getting into the fourth quarter of the season. So these games obviously mean a lot more, especially late division games. And we need to keep our eye on the target. You know, we can't worry about what's happened the last 3 weeks. It's an accountable football team that will learn from it. And we need to apply it to our preparation against the Vikings.
Mike, that first quarter against the Giants, 6 plays, 0 first downs. You did overcome that, and the offense obviously got clicking later on. But did that kind of set a negative tone for a while that you guys had to overcome?
I mean, the reality of the first half is, what, 10-6 at halftime?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the way those games go sometimes. I mean, our defense played well on third down, but they were able to convert to 2 fourth downs, which obviously factored in their longer drives, their 2 scoring drives. So I was real proud of our team to get that 3-point, field goal to long field. Mason Crosby nailed right before the half, and we deferred the coin toss and had the ball come out. So I really wasn't as concerned at that point in the game. Felt we had some really big shot opportunities for our offense, and Scott Tolzien did a remarkable job hitting on those big shot plays. So our production was very high. That game came down to probably the turnover ratio.
Mike, speaking of Tolzien, 24 of 34, 339 yards, but the 3 picks. You've already named him your starter for the Viking game. Could you talk about your analysis of his
performance? Yeah, I'm preparing for the Minnesota Vikings with Scott Tolzien. I really don't have a timeline for Aaron Rodgers, so I don't know what lies ahead there, but it's important to set a direction. I don't really like to play the games that sometimes are played as far as who's playing what and use the week, of competition to determine it. I think it's important for your football team to know who's under center. And we're preparing for the Vikings with Scott Tolzien.
And you said early in the week, to Scott Tolzien's credit, that he did something that you've never seen a quarterback do with the explosive plays when you looked at the film.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. First of all, I don't know if I've called that many in one game. Just the way they were playing us, they were playing us so aggressive for the run and in particular on the outside. So, the protection was good. I think he took a hit on a couple of them. But, I mean, just the ball placement and the catches by the receivers. I mean, the production was like I said, I think it might have been the best I've ever seen.
Mike, you mentioned the Giants were slanted toward playing the run. Now, extra attention in the box and so forth is not a revolutionary concept yet. Eddie Lacy, under 2 yards a carry. What's got to change there to get the production up?
Well, the whole thing. I mean, it starts up front, and with that, as a coaching staff, we need to give our players better answers. But at the end of the day, this comes down to how you block, the second, third reaction of the block, the finish, and obviously Eddie trusting the scheme. So we didn't do a very good job against the Giants handling the immediate number four, the secondary presence in the run game, and we need to give our players better answers for that.
Mike, in over a season, no team that you've coached has ever finished in the negative category in turnovers, and right now you're -6. I imagine that's got to be a focus for the weeks to come.
Yeah, it's a focus each and every week, and that's where frustration lies. So, and it's we're built for to be a team that takes the ball away, you know, as far as the skill set of our individual players. So, you know, we've kind of run through a rash of giveaways here the last 2 weeks, and we need to nail that down.
Mike, Sam Shields expected to play but does not, so everybody gets bumped up a rung on the ladder. Jared Bush ends up playing as your dime back. It looked like he played pretty solidly, and he hasn't had much repetitions on the regular defense this year.
Those are tough injuries. I mean, injuries are part of the game. You know, as we all know, we don't want to make excuses here, but when you have players go out on Friday that don't play on Sunday, that's a real challenge because you spend Wednesday, Thursday, you know, preparing certain packages and this and that. So then you end up playing the game on Sunday with players that have not gone through the preparation. In fact, it's happened too many times this year. It's unfortunate, but it's all part of the challenge of the National Football League.
Next up, our special guest who had a whale of a game against the Giants, Brad Jones. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now, Packers inside linebacker Brad Jones. Brad, three straight losses. Everybody's looking for answers. Do you have any for us?
I think every week, especially these past 3 weeks, we try to kind of look inwards you know, figure out exactly how to get this thing back rolling. But I think I don't think anybody's skipping a beat. I think at least the mentality on defense is, you know, we're going to get this right. You know, I think that's team wide.
Mike, when the team wins, not everybody played good, and when the team loses, not everybody played bad. Brad Jones put together a heck of a bottom line against the Giants: 13 tackles, 3 for losses, and a sack. Pretty nice outing for Brad Jones.
Definitely. It was clearly a winning performance. Very, very productive. It's great to have, you know, Brad back. He was injured, missed a few games, and I always look at him as kind of Mr. Everything. I mean, he's done everything for us on defense, played outside linebacker, inside linebacker, special teams. Just one heck of a football player.
Brad, you've been thriving at inside linebacker for the last season and a half. Before you got moved from outside linebacker, did you ever look over there and think, you know, that's where I really belong, or was this strictly a coaching concept?
No, I think
you could say it. You wonder what the heck he thinking about.
No, I mean, whatever. I'm pretty adaptable, I'd say. So I think, I mean, I was. I think I could. I think I always thought that I could just, you know, do anything they asked me to. I think that's kind of what. It's good. Good.
Now, the program says you're like 6'3", 242.
Right.
So you're in that neighborhood.
Sure.
Now, a small guy in where you're operating now, like any of those offensive linemen, if they're 300 pounds, they're a small guy for that position.
Right.
So how do you go about dealing with those people?
The small guys?
Well, the offensive linemen coming out the block.
I think it's really about like we talked about earlier, anticipation. I think it kind of all football really to me comes down to anticipating tendencies and knowing the angles. You know, just I mean, if you watch enough film and study enough tendencies, you know the probabilities of which players are going to come through, and then it's just about taking the right angles and beating your block. I think.
Brad, you talk about watching film and all the preparation that goes into playing in the NFL. Do you find now we'll talk about it in a moment, but you got a lot of different interests and stuff like that.
Okay.
Do you like football? Is that right up there on the scale?
If I didn't love football, I don't think I'd be doing it. So I mean, yeah, I mean, I love football above. I'd say above it all. And it takes all my time, and I gladly give it to that. I'd say so. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Well, talking about those variety of interests, you play the viola. Viola?
I do.
I don't even know what a viola is, okay?
It's like a violin with deeper strings.
All right. Okay. And you got an economics degree.
I do.
You're close to one in astrophysics.
Yes.
I don't know what that is either.
It's just physics.
And you're kind of into surfing. You're like a renaissance man, aren't you?
Renaissance man, that's a hard term. I think kind of.
I don't know what that means either, but I threw it out there.
I want to be a jack of all trades. I'd say then you're not a master of one. I do football. But, you know, they have fun with some other stuff, too, I'd say.
Brad, with the back on the field for a moment, with the three straight losses, team confidence, how do you keep that up?
I think team confidence really breeds from the relationship that that our team has with each other. I think whether it's going really well or whether it's going, you know, not so well, I think as long as our team sticks together, team confidence doesn't really change. The mentality tends to be, let's get this right, and not let's all, oh, woe is me. So I think the closer the team you have, then team confidence really is never a problem. It's just always about, let me get this right for everybody else.
All right, let's send it out to Lance.
All right, thank you very much, Larry. First off, batting leadoff, we have Tayton, who has a question for Brad.
What's your per average tackles of a game?
Per average, I don't know that offhand. We have to talk to one of the stats guys. Round 10, maybe. I
don't. You know, Brad. Come on, you keep track of that stuff, don't you?
You know, just in one ear, out the other.
All right. Next up, we have Lori, and she has a question for Brad as well.
Brad, what is your most memorable sack?
My most memorable sack would be my first one. My rookie year, my first one against the Blind Side, Baltimore Ravens, Monday Night Football, I believe. Yeah, I think, Monday Night. Yeah, it was Monday.
Awesome. And next up, we have Abe. He's a friendly Viking who has one more question for Brad. Take it away.
What's your dance when you get a pick six?
What's my dance when I get a pick six? I've never gotten a pick six before, but I will let you make up my dance, and I'll do whatever you say. You just, I promise you.
How about that? Would you be up for that?
Maybe.
Maybe. He says maybe.
Okay. So maybe, then. Maybe, I guess.
We don't know what Brad will be up for, but he will be up for the Telestrator next on the Mike McCarthy Show with Larry McCarron. Stay tuned.
Set eye on the backfield, receivers left and right. Moment of truth time for the defense, and on a blitz, they got Eli Manning. It was Brad Jones who came right up the slot and sacks the quarterback back to the 10-yard line, a loss of 9.
We are back with Brad Jones, who says, he who hesitates is lost. You say that, don't you, Brad?
I do. I say that every day. It's crazy how you do that.
Thank you for agreeing with me. But anyway, folks, okay, here's Brad Jones right here. And if we could start the tape, this is the running play. And rather than, like, pursuing down the line of scrimmage, the thing I wanted to ask you about, Brad, you seem to be attacking the line of scrimmage. Is that preparation, instinct, what's going on there?
I think it's a little bit of combination of both. I think, really, I watch so much tape. You try to hone in on all the tendencies that other teams have. So I think this was a 2x2 set they had. They had both the tight ends on the line of scrimmage, I believe. And, you know, you just kind of try to play to their tendencies. You know what plays they run out of this. So I know it's probably going to be some type of inside zone here or back this way. And all the gaps are filled, so I know my gap, honestly, is going to be this. As long as I got trust in these two guys holding theirs, I can scrape down the line and I can probably make the tackle here. But I like to try to anticipate a little bit and try to shoot gaps.
That's well, cool. That anticipation pays big dividends. Yep. If we could move it further, okay, Kevin Booth, their left guard,
yep,
right here, he's got you on this play. That's his assignment.
That is.
But he just got a zero on the play because you attacked the line of scrimmage. And he couldn't be quick enough to get off to block you. I've always thought the longer a linebacker waits for things to come to him, the worse things that can happen.
Absolutely. I think if you anticipate and you kind of attack it, it makes it harder. Like, it's a one-on-one block. It makes it harder on the offensive guys.
Okay, and as we proceed now, we can see Brad Jones making a tackle for a loss. One of his 13 tackles on the day. And that's got to be fun, huh?
Yeah, running around, you know.
Okay, same theme. We're going to go to another play now. And on this one, here is Brad Jones. And if we could move it a little further, here's what I want to ask you on this one. You talk about preparation or instinct. Okay, before the ball is snapped, Brad Jones is in motion. Now, were you timing the count? Did you have a feel for it? Were you guessing? Did you get lucky? How did it all work out?
I think it kind of comes back to, again, I mean, just film work and anticipating tendencies, trying to play towards tendencies. And you can kind of see who's communicating, who's not. So I have 80% assurance that it's going to be some type of pass play, looking for who's looking at me. None of these guys are, so they're not going to block me. The only guy who's going to be able to block me is him, because the fullback's out of here. So I mean, I had a good feel for Eli's count, so I figured I could get to him before he could get to me.
Well, let's see the exciting conclusion, or at least partway to it. And you can see that back, now he gets a zero on the play.
He does.
All he can do is put out an arm. Once again, playing aggressively, attacking the line of scrimmage pays off, does it not?
It definitely does. Anticipation is key, I'd say, absolutely.
And it pays off in this case with a big sack of Eli Manning.
Yep.
Well done, Brad Jones. Thanks for being with us. Coming up, more of the Mike McCarthy Show. Stay with us.
For your opinion on Twitter of what the play or player of the game was. And this week, Mike, it was Tremont Williams, 8 tackles, an interception, made some really nice tackles as well, breaking down, keeping Akeem Nicks in front of him.
Definitely an excellent performance by Tremont. It may have been his best performance of the year. I mean, it's an interception, not only the play that he makes on an errant throw between the quarterback and receiver, but his ability to jump up and, yards after the catch. So, we really put a lot on the corners, especially with their ability at receiver. I thought he tackled extremely well. So great performance by Jamon.
Mike, one of the non-plays of the game might have been the fake punt where you guys didn't get the first. However, personal opinion, I thought it was, and this is true, I'm not just saying that because you're here, because of the penalty on the previous punt, I'm thinking guys being guys. You just ran down the field. Either you did good or you did bad. All these things are whirling around your head. The Packers just punted it. They're going to punt again. I thought psychologically, perfect time to call it. And you say?
I agree with you. No, it was, you have plays like that there are situation calls. You look for a certain down and distance. And, we were a little heavy on the sticks there. And I was mad at myself because I felt that it was, 4th and 7 was a little too much. But our execution wasn't quite right. And the timing of it, I agree, I thought it was excellent. That's why kind of with the penalty and the dramatics of finding out exactly, hey, where's the ball spotted and so forth. I thought I was doing a heck of a job acting through that because I'm not an actor. But Sean Slocum, we gave him a chance to get it called. We had the look. John Kuhn had an outstanding block, and MD if we're a little cleaner on the inside, it's probably a 20, 25-yard play.
And you touched on it before, but Mason Crosby was the longest outdoor field goal in Packers history and the second longest in team history. And right before the half, it had plenty of distance. It could have probably cleared from 10 more yards or more.
Yeah, we tend to forget because of the season Mason went through last year, and people want to highlight that. You're talking about a very talented kicker. I mean, his leg speed and what he brings to the table of not only the distance of kicking the football, but the accuracy. You look at the way he kicks the football on kickoff. So so glad that he's our kicker, and we're very happy and proud of him for that particular moment. We needed that as a football team, and he nailed it.
Next up, we'll talk about those nasty Vikings on the Mike McCarthy Show.
Don't forget the Packers annual Toys for Tots collection will take place before the Packers-Vikings game this Sunday. Please donate new unwrapped toys for distribution. Cash donations will be accepted as well.
And it's the final segment of the Mike McCarthy Show. And Mike, you have to deal with the Vikings here at Lambeau Field, but then turn around and play the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. 2 division games in 5 days.
Absolutely. You looked at the schedule. But this is really about the Vikings. I mean, Thanksgiving Day will be what we'll talk about next week. That game always takes care of itself, in my view. But, this is an important game, obviously, with what we went through this past week. And our football team needs to take a step up. And, we feel very good about this contest.
Mike, when you play a team twice, especially in a relatively short amount of time, does that change the dynamics of the game at all, or do you get pretty much what you saw last time?
I used to think it changed a lot, but look at how much each team's changed in such a short period of time. So, and that's the reality of the NFL. So it's important just to really keep your own house clean, keep working at that, and that's really our focus.
Mike, good luck here at Lambeau Field against the Minnesota Vikings.
Thank you.
All right, Mike McCarthy joining us right here on the McCarthy Show. We will talk to you after the Minnesota game next week. We'll be right back.